Hello, welcome to The Sound of Economics and another episode of the Deep Focus podcast series from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. My name is Sean Gibson, I'm Bruegel's press officer. Today I'll be talking to Bruegel senior fellow Zsolt Darash, who has written a research paper and indeed a Bruegel blog post on the economic forecasts of the European Central Bank. Hello, Zsolt.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me. For anyone new to the podcast, this Deep Focus series is where we have a conversation with Bruegel scholars about the research that they've put together, and we try to distill the key findings. So can probably start perhaps by explaining the importance of ECB forecasting, particularly in the current context of what's going on. What knock-on effects might the forecasts have?
Forecasts play very important roles, both in policy making and also in business decisions and the everyday decisions of people. On the policy side, the European Central Bank monetary policy decisions are informed by forecast. So when the European Central Bank staff forecast an increase of inflation, then the governing council of the ECB could adopt measures, for example, like increasing the interest rate. But beyond the direct influence of ECB forecasts on ECB decisions, they also have a much wider importance for the economy. For example, companies, when they set up their business plans, they must have an expectation of future inflation because they should know at what price they will be able to sell their products. And those decisions, those company decisions, are also very likely influenced by forecast. Or we can also look at the workers. When they argue with their employers for wage increases, they have an expectation of future inflation, and European Central Bank forecasts likely influence what kind of wage and inflation expectations workers and trade unions have in their wage talks. So overall, forecasts of the ECB are really, really important at many different dimensions.
So moving on, I guess, specifically to your research paper, can you elaborate on the patterns and the problems you've identified within the ECB's forecasting?
The ECB is transparent in making its forecast public, which is good. But it allows us and also everyone to check how accurate these forecasts actually turn to be. And what I did in the paper, I looked at the forecasting track record of the past 5 years and found that there were really major and systematic forecasting errors. Now let me explain that. In the past 5 years, at every forecasting rounds, the European Central Bank predicted that core inflation, which is very important inflation indicator, it doesn't exclude volatile items like energy prices and food prices. So that's what we call core inflation. And the ECB forecast for core inflation was always an increase from about 1% to close to 2%. At each quarter the ECB made a forecast, it predicted an increase from close to 1% to close to 2%. But it has never happened. Core inflation remained stuck at 1% and didn't increase. But even though it hasn't increased, ECB still in the next forecasting round predicted another increase. Another forecasting failure relates to the unemployment rate. While the ECB was right in predicting that the unemployment rate in the euro area is expected to decline, but it always underestimated the pace of that decline. So again, the forecast error were always had the similar pattern. ECB expected a higher unemployment rate than it actually turned out to be. And what is interesting is that these two particular forecast errors for core inflation and unemployment are in fact not consistent with each other, because a faster than expected decline in the unemployment rate should have indicated that core inflation should have increased actually faster than predicted. But on the contrary, core inflation hasn't really increased. So it also might suggest that there are some major problems in the underlying models used by the ECB for forecasting.
So what factors do you think best explain these forecast errors within the ECB's methods or modeling?
It's very difficult to find a good explanation, I have to say. In the paper, I work very hard to try and to find some plausible reasons, but none of them are convincing. But let me list a few of them. Now, first of all, labor force participation, which is an indicator which measures of what share of people between 20 and 65 years old would like to work. So this labor force participation rate in the euro area has been steadily increasing. This means that more and more people would like to work in the euro area. So if, for example, if the European Central Bank has underestimated the expansion of labor force participation and thereby the expansion of the labor force, that could be a reason that, look, more people works now than or would like to work now than it was thought by the ECB. Therefore, the bargaining power of trade unions and workers were lower. Wages consequently didn't increase that much as predicted by the ECB, and also inflation hasn't increased that much. So this could be one part of the explanation, but it cannot be the full explanation, because first of all, this process has been ongoing for more than 5 or 10 years now, and it's not very likely that every time the ECB underestimated the pace of labor force expansion. A second possible explanation could be related to the so-called equilibrium level of the unemployment rate. There are many different ways to define this equilibrium, but basically this equilibrium means that wages wouldn't grow if the actual unemployment rate is at the equilibrium. Now, it could be possible that the ECB thought that the actual unemployment rate is already below equilibrium. So in fact, the unemployment rate is too low in a sense. And you know, if unemployment rate is too low, then certainly wages increase. But it's possible that this was the initial thought of the ECB, that the equilibrium is above the actual. But let's say a year or 2 years later, the new estimate suggests that actually the equilibrium unemployment rate is much, much lower. And since there was excess unemployment, wages and prices didn't grow, but the unemployment rate actually fell faster than predicted. So this could be another possible explanation. But again, if you look at the detail, in particular, if you look at the real-time data which are available, they all suggest that at the time when the ECB made the forecast, the estimate for the equilibrium unemployment rate was well below the actual unemployment rate. So again, this explanation cannot really explain. And you know, this leads us to to ask the question, what else could explain the forecasting errors? Perhaps it is built in the ECB models that inflation has to converge to 2%. So maybe it's a kind of technical assumption. But also we cannot exclude another quite important possibility, that by the way of publishing forecast, the ECB wanted to influence expectations. So for example, it's possible that they always predicted a somewhat higher inflation than their really best estimate was, because they saw that it could lead to a kind of self-fulfilling expectations. So if the ECB predicts a higher inflation, market participants will believe that inflation will be actually higher, and then indeed it becomes actually higher. So we don't know whether this was an important factor or not. And overall, my conclusion is that it's very, very difficult to explain what factors could have contributed to these major and systemic forecast errors of the European Central Bank.
So looking forward, this this pattern of inflation and unemployment doing one thing and the ECB forecasting that they will do something else, what does it mean, and what can we take away from this pattern?
The problem that more and more people realize that ECB forecasts are systematically wrong, or at least has been systematically wrong in the past 5 years. Now, it can have a number of consequences. We already see that inflationary expectations are falling in the euro area. For example, early December, in a few days ago, the expected inflation in the next 5 years on average is just 1.2%, according to a market indicator of inflation expectations. Now, 1.2% is not really close to 2%, and we know that the ECB aim is to reach a below but close to 2% inflation on the medium term, which is in itself a bit ambiguous. But clearly, if in the next 5 years the expectation is 1.2%, I wouldn't say that it is close to 2%. So people might not believe what the ECB is saying. And it has a number of implications, because if similar forecast errors will emerge in the future, then companies and wage negotiators would not adjust their expectations to ECB, but they will learn that, look, whatever the ECB says, core inflation doesn't really increase to over 1%, and therefore it might have an impact on how companies and wages develop in the future. That would be really unfortunate. A permanent reduction in inflation expectation, in my view, would be really unfortunate. But it could also undermine the credibility of the ECB, because if they always forecast an increase in core inflation, it never happens. Then, you know, people will sooner or later ask, look, what's the use of this ECB forecast if they always prove to be wrong?
I mean, you've touched quite a lot on this already, but I think be good to try and get an idea of the consequences of a loss of trust in the ECB's forecasting ability, and just how far this would go, and perhaps how it might be arrested and corrected, how it might be, where do we go from here to recover it?
Basically, there are three possible outcomes. One is that we just need to wait more, let's say 1 or 2 years, and core inflation will reach close to 2%. The second is that the ECB will have to do more, a more significant monetary stimulus to reach that. And the third is that the ECB will have to revise its inflation goal. Now, let me elaborate these 3 points in a bit more detail. So the first option, I said that there are certain labor market developments in recent years which might, to some extent, explain at least part of the puzzle of this missing forecast. I argue that they can't expect in full, but maybe in the coming years they will become more forceful and be a more significant explanatory of the forecast errors. And, you know, as wages have already started to increase in the euro area, wage increase could continue and ultimately could drive inflation back to 2%, core inflation back to 2%. So maybe we just need to wait 1 or 2 more years and ECB shouldn't do anything. But it's possible that this strategy will not work. It's possible that core inflation will continue to remain close to 1%, which is clearly not in line with the ECB's objective of reaching below but close to 2% inflation in the medium term. And in that case comes the second or the third option. The second option is to do more, to adopt a new stimulus to foster inflation. Now, that can be many different forms. The ECB, for example, has announced already that it will terminate asset purchases by the end of this year. So maybe in a year from now, the ECB might start again asset purchases, or it might adopt other measures, like some people argue for a so-called helicopter money approach, whereby giving money to citizens for free, and some other options are also on the table. The ECB's deposit rate, which is currently minus 0.4%, could be lowered into a deeper negative territory. For example, in Switzerland, the central bank interest rate is almost minus 1%, and certainly the ECB could do that. So the second option is that the ECB could do more. Certainly, they will not announce, I think, anything in the December meeting of the Governing Council. But maybe in a year from now, if these forecast errors persist and core inflation will remain stuck at 1%, the ECB might adopt a new monetary stimulus. But there is also the third option, because we see a lot of resistance against an additional monetary stimulus. And after all, GDP growth in the euro area is relatively healthy now, close to 2%. And people might ask, you know, why the ECB wants to do a new stimulus when GDP growth is nice, unemployment is reducing, jobs are created in the economy. That's not the typical time when central banks used to do a new monetary stimulus. So the ECB might, in fact, reconsider its inflation aim of close to but below 2%, namely it could reduce it to a lower level, and explain to the public what are the more underlying structural factors which limit the ECB's ability to lift core inflation from 1 to 2. So basically that's the third option. So we might not just need to wait. Maybe 1 in 2 years from now, inflation will go up. The second is a new monetary stimulus. And the third one is a new inflation target.
That about brings us to the end of the episode. So thank you to everyone for listening for this deep focus. And thank you very much, Jolt, for taking us through your research. If you'd like to hear more of Bruegel's work, we have a range of other podcast episodes as well as publications and blog posts available on our website at www.bruegel.org. We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.